chapters 4, 5, and 6. Let's stand out of respect to the Word of God, if you're physically able. I'm looking forward to, I mentioned chapter 4, 5, and 6, because in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we get the doctrine, and in the 4, 5, and 6, we get the duty. Amen. And by the way, good doctrine affects what we do, and bad doctrine affects what we do. You know why a lot of people never witness? Because they don't know the Bible is clear on that doctrine. They've never settled that in their heart, that God wants us to witness. And there's so many other things, especially in Ephesians here, as we've been looking at these great doctrines of the Bible. So we'll continue tonight. Verses 9 through 13, as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd verses, you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9 through verse 13, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. In our last lesson, and it was a while ago, it was before Thanksgiving, amen, that we had our last lesson in Ephesians, we looked at we continued our study on the minister of the mystery, part 3, and we looked at we had the first 4 points of the message. We looked at the preacher, and you remember, we looked at God's call of Paul in verse number 7, and God's grace to Paul in verse number 7 and 8, and God's power to Paul in verses 7 and 8 as well. So we looked at the preacher and took a good look at Paul there. And then we looked at his perspective. If you remember, if you look back at verse number 8, we see his perspective there. He said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." First of all, Paul was humbled. He was humbled that God would use him. He thought, in earlier on, he would say, "Look, I'm the least of all the saints because I persecuted the church. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle." But by the way, God did call him to be an apostle. And God did call him to write 14 books of the New Testament. And isn't it wonderful to know, hey, that God uses humble servants? Think about some of the greatest servants I've ever known in the ministry. Just humble people. Just humble people, glad to serve the Lord. And so he was humbled, but also he was honored. Verse number 8, he said, "Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? We have that same honor. To be able to share the unsearchable riches of Christ with someone else. And so we looked at the preacher, we looked at the perspective, we looked at the proclamation. What was the proclamation? He said, "This was the reason that God empowered me that I would preach the unsearchable riches of Christ." That's the very reason that God empowered him for that proclamation. Then we looked at his preaching, and we looked at his mission and his message and his mystery and the matchless, and that was, of course, by Jesus Christ. So you have a blank line there. Paul's ministry to bring Christ to the Gentiles, and that the church would be composed of Jews and Gentiles was unique. Okay? And here, he continues to praise, continues to praise God for entrusting him with it. And he explains, and we have 3 more points with several subpoints here. He explains, first of all, the purpose. Verses 9, 10, and 11 talk about the purpose, in particular, verse number 10 and verse 11. But verse 11, first of all, What is the purpose of Paul's ministry here? We're talking about this in particular in regards to that he would preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that Jew and Gentile, Gentile that was once far off would now be made nigh by the blood of Christ. What was the purpose of that? Number one was that the mystery of God be sown. The mystery of God. It says there, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Again, remember, ladies and gentlemen, a mystery in the Bible is not something mysterious or spooky. It's something that God has chosen to conceal. If we could say this, it's part of something that God had hid from the eyes of the prophets. And as we're going to see, hid from the eyes of the angels, and that Paul was the first one to receive this ministry. And so that the mystery of God be sown. And look what he says there. What is that mystery? To make all men see. To make all men see. You know, it's amazing. We talked about this a while back when we rehash it. It's amazing how racial prejudices are to this day plaguing not only our country, but think about Jew and Gentile. Think about it as we go back and look at the temple. The temple had an outer court that was called the court of the Gentiles. They weren't allowed in the inner court. Why? Because, forgive me, Brother Swoffer, they were filthy Gentiles. They were dirty swine-eating Gentiles. But here the Apostle Paul says, listen to me. In Christ, there is no Jew and Gentile. All are one. There is no black and white. Amen? Hey, listen, there is no bond or free. There is no rich and poor. For Christ is all in all. That's what we learn. And so, that what was the purpose? That this mystery would be seen by all men. They would see Jew and Gentile. But then, number two, not only that the mystery of God be sown, but the manifold wisdom of God be known. That they would know that this was God's plan through all the ages. And you look at verse number 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, what's it talking about here? Again, you have to stay in the context. It is talking about this relationship between Jew and Gentile. And he takes the time to mention principalities in heavenly places. Now listen, later on we know he would talk about that in chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's referring here to the angelic beings, and I'm glad for what the Bible says about angels. Do you know that angels aren't fat little babies? Did you know that? You say, well, they are in my house. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you in your little cherub collection. But they're not. Let me tell you something else. In the Bible, angels are not female. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm very sorry, but they're always referred to masculine. They're incredible beings that God created. But you know what? They're not all powerful. And they're not all knowing. This says right here in this text that part of the purpose of Paul's ministry was that the angels would know the manifold wisdom of God in the fact that it was God's purpose from the beginning, Jew and Gentile together. Together in a church. Now that may not mean much to us now. As I've said so many times, I don't think we have any Jews in our church, just mostly Gentiles. But imagine if you had all the Jews on this side and all the Gentiles on this side, and somebody started preaching this, said, hey, look, we're supposed to come together here. Well, that's part of the manifold wisdom of God being known. And then verse 11 kind of sums it all up. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The mystery of God be sown, the manifold wisdom of God be known, and the mighty purpose of God be shown. Be shown. That was Paul's purpose here, verses 9 through 11. But then we see in verse number 12, and I love this, we see not only the purpose, but we see the privilege. He says here, in whom... And what's the next word there, church? Verse 12. In whom? We, those that have been saved, those Ephesians that have been saved, you and I that have been saved. Because look what it says. The privilege there is in whom we, and the in whom modifies Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's talking about those that are in Christ, in whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. The privilege, a few lines here. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, He blesses us, or He gives us, blesses us, gives us all spiritual blessings. You have a blank line there? Write Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. We looked at that, and we remember that particular sentence that that's listed in is the longest continuous sentence in the New Testament. It goes from verse number 3 to verse number 14, and it talks about some of those great spiritual blessings that He blesses us with: predestination, election, adoption, redemption, these wonderful truths that we looked at. When we get saved, we get it all. We get it all. We get all the spiritual blessings, and daily loadeth us with benefits. Psalm 68:19 is the next blank line there. God, you know, today, when you, actually before you started, when you were comatose, hallelujah, you should start the day off comatose because the day starts at midnight, and you ought not to be up after midnight. Amen. Mom said amen to that. She's gone at 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. Gone. Amen. Yeah, 10 o'clock. On my clock it's 8, on yours it's 10. Amen. Hallelujah. God blessed you. God loaded you with benefits. Yes, He did. You say, well, the money's... Let me tell you something. I know we need money to survive. It's the old line from It's a Wonderful Life. It comes in handy down here, George Bailey said. You know, money. You don't need it up in heaven, but it comes in handy down here. But I'm telling you, the spiritual blessings and the benefits of God go way beyond money.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take a breath. That's a blessing from God right there. There's a lot of people love to take a deep breath right about now. They can't do it. Okay? And so He daily loads us with benefits, and He gives us all spiritual blessings, and He lists three right here. He lists three. The first thing He lists is boldness. Boldness. I want you to hold your place there in Ephesians, and let's go to these verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And then Hebrews chapter 10. It talks about here, when we placed our faith and trust in Christ as our own personal Savior, He blesses us and He loads us with benefits, and He lists them here. The first one He gives us is boldness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says there, let us therefore come, what's the next word, church? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it used to be that once a year the high priest could come before the mercy seat, and he better come with blood for himself, and he better come with blood for the others. And you remember how they would tie a rope around him, and he would have those little bells on his garments in case he fell dead. They couldn't go in and get him. If they didn't hear the bells anymore, they would take that rope and pull him out. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He rent that veil. And we can come boldly to God.
Amen.
We can come boldly to God. It's a privilege of being saved that we can come to God boldly. I think the sad thing is we come so many times, so rarely, that we come timidly. Boy, he says here, he said, we have boldness. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It's saying the same thing right here, really. Verse number 18 says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we don't come in our own strength. We don't come in our own merit. We don't come in our own righteousness. We are allowed into the presence of God, and we can come boldly because Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sin. His blood. Boldness. But then, right along with that, boldness number two is access. We have access to God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 2 there. Take a left turn there. Go past Ephesians and go to Romans. Well, the great verse on access is John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Earlier he would say, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, because Christ is our Savior, we have access to the throne of God. We have access to the Creator of all things. Romans chapter 5, really verse 1, you need to read that too. It says, therefore being justified by works, is that what your Bible says? No, it doesn't, does it? It says, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, prepositional phrase here, modifying Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by our good life. Access by our good deeds. Access by what we do for God. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says we have access by faith. Everything that you and I have and do in the Christian life is by faith in Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. Every access, benefits, blessings, all because of our faith that we placed in Jesus Christ. He did it all, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one who said it is finished. So boldness, access, and then go to 2 Corinthians, right turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The word in Ephesians 3:12 is confidence. Confidence, but it's translated a different way in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. It says in Ephesians 3:12, by in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. But then if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Trust, confidence. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, again, don't trust in yourself. Paul, as a matter of fact, Paul used the same word that's told us to put no confidence in the flesh. He says, if any of you put confidence in the flesh, I more. He said, but we're not to put any confidence, we have our confidence in God. And that's the privilege, ladies and gentlemen. So many people living a hope-so life. So many people living a hope, I hope I'll make it to heaven. So many people living the Christian life as a hope-so. Listen, I'm not saying they're not burdens, and I'm not saying there aren't things that happen in our lives that cross our eyes and make them well up with tears. I'm not saying that at all. That's just part of being living in a cursed world. But I am saying this, we can walk through this life with confidence, not in us, in Jesus Christ, in God. The fact that we have access, we have boldness, amen. We can come to Him boldly and know that He hears our prayers. So the privilege is we have boldness and access and confidence. And then back in Ephesians chapter 3, we have the purpose, number 5 there, Roman numeral number 5. The privilege, Roman numeral number 6. And then lastly, the persuading in verse number 13. Paul says here, he says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Okay, the Ephesians, if you and I don't know if you've ever done this before, you looked at, and maybe you look at that laundry list that Paul gives at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, look, a night and a day in the deep and shipwrecked and all these lashes of Rome. And sometimes Christians say, I don't want that. Listen, there's only one Paul. You know where you see this? In surrender. You say, well, I'm not going to surrender because I don't want God to send me to Zimbabwe. You know, he's probably not going to send you there. Come on, church. He's probably not going to send you there. He just wants your surrender. But we say, well, listen, and what Paul says here, it's very interesting because he says, look, I don't want you to faint because of my tribulations. You know, we talked about on Sunday, run your race. You need to run your race. Not my race, your race. You need to run your race. So, three lines here. God does not want the Ephesian believers to be discouraged due to Paul's difficulties. So he encourages them that he will use these sufferings, and that he is capitalized there, speaking of God here, he encourages them that he will use these sufferings for his glory and for their good. I want you to go back one more reference and we'll be done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the cross-reference we have there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a blessed verse. Especially to those that are afflicted. Some are afflicted physically. Some are afflicted emotionally. Some are afflicted through sorrows and pains that they've gone through in their lives, and they carry that with them. The Apostle Paul here, the Holy Spirit using him, says in verse number 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know what he says there? He says, it's not just affliction. God's using it. God's using it. God's using it. I have a book in my office called The Ministry of Suffering. The Ministry of Suffering. I think about people who suffer physically on a daily basis. And I think about how the Apostle Paul said, look, I besought the Lord thrice that this thorn in the flesh would depart from me. And God said, what did he say? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Paul says, yeah, I'm in this prison, but God's using it to reach people. Matter of fact, I reached a few of these Roman jailers here. These my own captors, I reached them. Those of Caesar's house, the Bible says. And so praise the Lord about this great apostle, amen, Paul, and the minister of the mystery. Father, thank you for this passage tonight. Thank you for your study and, Lord, your wonderful word that just has so much for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, like the Apostle Paul, as we look at these unsearchable riches, to look at those around us and, Lord, to be able to share it with them, Lord, to get our eyes off self. I know it's so easy to, especially with those that have legitimate burdens, to say, why is this happening to me? And how? But also to say, Lord, who do you want me to reach through this? Who can I reach? I think of Brother Bob St. Amour, and he's up there in the hospital, and he said, I already got to talk to a nurse, and she needs a church home. And Lord, I pray that you'd please help each one of us to look outside of ourselves. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you're going to do. We pray that you'd please bless now in these final moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.